WRKC is proud to present the second season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 15th episode, Court Appeal.
Anything else for you two?
Nah, I should go collapse in my office. Gotta be up at the crack of noon tomorrow.
Yeah, me too. I've got to track down a piece of Baroque artwork for some museum.
All right. Good night, Harry. Marla, need me to call a taxi?
Yeah, if you wouldn't...
I'll drive her. Night, Glenn.
Night, Harry.
Apart from the company, it was a usual night at Glenn's. Except that, because of the company, I didn't end up slumped over the bar. I didn't want to teach a beginning private eye that it's okay to drink yourself sick the night before a big case, even if it has become something of a habit for me. Marlo's gonna have a hard enough time getting into the business as it is without picking up bad habits. I drove the girl home and...
Thanks, Harry.
Hey, I'm glad to have someone to share a bar with.
Maybe we can do it again sometime?
Sure. I'm there pretty much every night anyway. That is to say, any night that I don't have a case. Which is infrequently. Because it's important to do cases. Often.
Uh-huh. Well, I had a really nice time.
Yeah, me too.
Have a good night, Harry.
Yeah, you too, kiddo. Kiddo. Damn it. That makes me sound like a bad lounge singer. An old bad lounge singer. So I got into my car and drove back to the office to treat myself to a gaggle of gin shots and... You've got to be kidding me. Who's calling me at a 2:15 in the morning? What is it?
Not happy to hear from me?
Carolyn? Carolyn Hammett, ex-reporter for The Ledger and the biggest reason Giovanni Colazioni's off the streets and I'm not underground. What she was doing calling me so late at night was beyond me. Yeah, I'm absolutely happy to hear from you. Just wasn't expecting a call. How's Philadelphia treating you?
About as well as it treats anyone. How are things back home?
Quieter. Just the regular sorts of cases. Kidnappings, murders, assault.
Sounds great. Makes me wonder why I ever left.
It's not quite the same without you.
I imagine you're doing much more actual investigating.
You could say that. Speaking of investigating, why the late call?
I figured you'd be up.
And?
Is it too much to assume that I just wanted to hear your voice?
It's a nice thought, but I doubt you'd call this late for that. Are you in trouble? I'll drive to the train station right now.
You don't need to.
I'm serious. I'll drive down right now. It's not a problem or anything.
No, Harry, it's nothing like that. But I do have a client for you.
Let me just pack a bag and I'll...
Harry, let me finish. She's not in Philadelphia. A friend of mine from back home. We used to play tennis together.
You play tennis?
Not all of us can drink as a hobby, Harry.
All right. Go on.
Anyway, she's a good friend of mine, so when she called me saying she needed a private eye, who can be subtle, I told her I didn't know anyone who matched that description. But you're the only detective I know, and I can trust, not to take advantage of her situation.
Gee, that vote of confidence means a lot. What do you mean I'm not subtle?
Harry, how many of your cases end in gunfights?
Just tell me what's bothering the dame.
Her husband is away on business a lot, and she never gets to see him. So, naturally, when she met a man with her same interests...
Uh-huh. An affair.
But last week she received a letter saying that if she didn't pay $1,000, her husband would know all about it.
Jeez, $1,000?
Her husband is a very successful banker, and she has enough money she can afford it. But you know how these things go. It's only a matter of time before the blackmailer gets hungry again.
So you'd like me to figure out who's blackmailing your friend and stop it without the husband learning of it? That's all well and good, but if she keeps seeing this guy...
She already broke it off with him. She's serious about finding whoever is threatening her, quieting them up, and getting on with her life.
All right, I'll do it. But I'll need to know about her. And just because you're asking me doesn't mean I'm not going to charge her.
Thanks, Harry. I knew I could count on you.
She told me all about Mrs. Denise Hinckley, and I promised her I'd arrive at the club sober. The next day, I called the police station to have a quick word with Spinelli.
Officer Spinelli speaking. What can I help you with?
Hey, Travis. Look, I've got a blackmail case, and I was hoping I could get some information.
What kind of blackmail?
Well, the husband can't know.
Oh, that kind.
I can't bring your boys in, or you can bet the mister will catch wise. But if I need to see if anyone has any priors...
Yeah, we can take care of that.
Thanks. I owe you. When a client doesn't want noise, the worst thing you can do is get the cops in on it. But they've got resources I couldn't hope for. And if you need the information fast, it's not a bad idea to let them know. As it was, I didn't have much choice but to drive on over to the tennis club and take a look around. It was one of those strange little splotches of green that you can't believe is just 10 minutes from slums, factories, or the like. Blocking my way in was a little chain fence with a little wooden guardhouse. Inside was some skinny kid who apparently wanted to see my ID.
Can I see your ID?
Sure thing. Let me just... Oh, looks like I forgot it today. Say, pal, you'll help a guy out, right? What's the harm?
I don't think that's a great idea.
Why not? You've probably seen me down here. I just want to play a couple of rounds of tennis.
I've never seen you before in my life.
Really?
And you're not wearing a tennis outfit or carrying a racket.
Must have left those at home, too.
I'd appreciate it if you'd please leave, sir.
Look, here's $5.
Ah, good morning, Mr. Lincoln. Come on in.
I made my way into a pavilion set up with picnic benches with a good view of the different courts. I sat down to watch the movement of people in as unobtrusive of a spot I could find. The players, women and men both, were dressed in white tennis outfits that looked nothing like my black slacks and gray shirt. After a little while, a long pair of legs carrying a blonde-haired woman with brown eyes walked over from a court. She matched the description, so I kept an eye on her until she came over to sit down.
Are you Harry Flynn?
Sure am. Denise Hinckley, I am guessing?
And here I thought you couldn't be a detective sitting here, so obviously.
You walked over about 7 minutes ago from your game. You won it, but not by a whole lot. Talk to the woman with the red hair, who you don't like, by the way, about something casual. Probably the game. On the way over, you made eyes at the man with the blue stripes on his sleeves, and he's looking a little suspicious of me. He's not your husband, of course. No ring. You were careful, though, not to let anyone notice you look at him. Flicked your hair a little bit to make it look coincidental, but it was no passing glance. Satisfied?
Very.
I bet.
Mr. Flynn, I find your attitude very disrespectful and...
And I find you unworthy of my respect. You married a man and he sure as hell wasn't expecting to go running off with someone else. You broke a sacred trust, important as any law. I track down people who think they can break the rules. I don't help them. So you can forget about respect and tell me your damn problems so I can get back to mine.
Carolyn warned me about your ridiculous, righteous fury.
And she did you a favor you didn't deserve. Tell me what I need to know.
Well, I started seeing William about 2 months ago. I played here for ages and he started showing up. We met here and talked a couple of times, then drinks. It just kind of progressed from there.
Did you ever go to your house with him? Could it be the neighbors?
No, we always kept it here so it wouldn't get out.
Tell me about the blackmailing. Letters?
Two of them. Both of them were slipped into my racket case while I was playing in the past week, so I thought it must be someone here.
Probably, though it isn't too hard to get in without being a member.
They'd had to have gotten in to see me with William, then once for each note. I mean, the blackmailer could have seen me and written a note the same day, but that's still twice.
Do you have the letters with you?
Yes, they're right in my racket case. Here.
True to her word, there were two letters. They were handwritten in blocky letters, probably to disguise the writer. The wording was mostly the same. I know about your indiscretions and will inform your husband if $1,000 are not left at Court 3 at midnight. Do not attempt to find me there or you won't have a husband to go home to. Simply leave the money and go. The date was changed, and the second included the postscript of, "I doubt Mr. Hinckley will be glad to hear about William." Clearly, the blackmailer was getting a little impatient.
Well, can you tell me anything?
Detective work isn't magic, Mrs. Hinckley. All I can tell you from this is that, unless you perfume your racket, the writer is a woman who uses entirely too much cheap perfume. These letters practically reek of it.
Will that help you figure out who did this?
Hard to say, but I need to go buy a tennis outfit if I'm going to get to talk to anyone without attracting strange looks.
Actually, you look about the same size as my husband. He bought some clothes to play tennis with me 3 years ago, played once, and never wore them again. He's at work for the next 2 hours, and he won't notice they're missing.
Sounds like he doesn't take much notice of things going astray. Well, saves me buying a set. Go to your car and wait 5 minutes, and I'll be up. We don't want the blackmailer figuring out we're doing business. I waited for 10 minutes, just to let Denise stew a little, and then made my way up to her car. The ride was quiet, apart from her terrible habit of grinding her teeth. When we pulled up into the driveway of her rather sizable manor, she seemed surprised by something on the door.
Oh God, there's another note!
Hold on, let me look at this. Same perfume, same writing, only a different message. You missed our meeting twice. Be sure not to miss it again.
I'm simply going to have to pay. She knows where I live.
She pulled the note from the door and handed it to me before trying to yank out the nail it had been held up by. Say, what kind of wood is this? Maple?
What? I don't know. Probably. Aren't there bigger issues to take care of?
Yeah, I still need that tennis costume. Go on in, I'll be waiting. She brought the change of clothes down and I changed in their restroom. The clothes fit all right, besides being ridiculous and a little tight at the shoulders. Denise drove me back to the courts and handed me a racket before driving on home.
You again.
With clothes and racket.
And your ID?
You already took my last ID when I was here earlier, but I've got a guest pass.
$1? You gotta be kidding me.
How much do you usually make in bribes, kid?
All right. You're the nerve of some people.
Oh, how much does a regular monthly pass cost?
We only take yearly subscriptions. They cost...
He wrote a number on a piece of paper and slipped it to me. It was a surprising number. People pay that much to run around with rackets?
I can't believe it either.
He let me in and I made my way over to the pavilion, swaggering as best as I could. On the way over, the blue-sleeved man who Denise had been looking at stormed towards me and jabbed me in the chest with his racket.
Just what are you trying to pull here, pal? You can't just waltz in here and run off with Denise.
I'm guessing you're William?
Yeah, but you're not answering my questions.
How about I answer yours if you'll answer me one? Who's Denise to you?
She's my girl, and you better stay away.
All right. In that case, I'm trying to help her husband figure out who she's involved with down here. William's face began to turn red as he poked me with the racket again.
What do you mean, husband?
Holy matrimony, for better or for worse. And quit poking me with that or I'll stuff it down your throat. Didn't you notice the ring on her finger?
She said that was from her sister.
Well, Mr. Hinckley says it isn't. Look, I still need to finish investigating this. Make sure there aren't any more men involved in this, you know? You keep your mouth shut and we won't have any trouble. I brushed past the dumbfounded William and made my way to the pavilion. Unfortunately, the little confrontation had pulled glances. So much for being subtle.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Court Appeal, but first, a word from our sponsor.
I swear, I would never cross you guys. You're like family to me. A couple of cops nearly brought me in, so I had to dump the money.
This is the third time this month, you lousy little rat. I think you're lying to us. Louis, let's see if you can't beat the money out of him.
Boss, he isn't a rat. He's a fellow human being. He trusts us, and we should trust him. It's wrong to engage in violence out of desperation.
Ah, great. You spent 2 years in the slammer and come out all soft.
Well, after my anger management treatment, I figured out that breaking things isn't all I'm good at. Now this crime job is only to pay the bills. My true love is critiquing Renaissance poetry.
Friends, has this ever happened to you? You're ready to interrogate, but your thug forgot the tools. You need to have a gang war, nobody's at your back. You're all set up to teach a guy a lesson, and suddenly the teacher's out.
Yeah, it just happened now. Weren't you paying attention?
It's a sad trend, and one getting worse every day. More and more prisons are using rehabilitation to try to get criminals to stop committing crimes. These anger management programs mean that your thugs come out of jail painting pretty birds instead of breaking legs.
I believe the birds are a symbol of the freedom we can find by escaping from violence.
Shut up, Louis. Let the talky guy talk. I want to hear if he's got a solution.
You only insult me to deal with your own insecurities.
Somebody shoot this guy! Talky guy, go on.
It's a sad trend, and...
You said that already! Skip to the good part or I'll point at you next.
Well, now there's a chance to get those thugs right back on their feet, knocking people off of theirs. It's Raging Ronnie, the repeatedly recidivating Ronaldo's re-dehabilitation school. At Raging Ronnie's, we use the most revolutionary re-dehabilitation techniques to keep seething anger behind the eyes of your men. We guarantee the same fire in their belly or your money back.
And I'm just supposed to believe this guy?
Why wouldn't you believe me when we've got Raging Ronnie's alumni right here?
After prison, I realized that my anger against the people around me was just misplaced guilt over my bringing up. But Ronnie taught me that the people who I'm around are the reason I'm so damn guilty about my childhood.
At prison, I got two things. A giant tattoo of a pistol made of fire on my chest, and a realization that guns can't solve all my problems. At first, I didn't believe Ronnie, but eventually I learned that guns can solve some of my problems. Like if a song I don't like comes on the radio or something like that.
Prison tried to make me into something I wasn't. A nice girl who more or less likes to be around people. Ronnie's is different. He taught me that I could use my newfound intellect to come up with interesting interrogation techniques. Now I can let out my creative self by using a yo-yo, 3 ducklings, and 2 planks of wood to get answers for my boss. Thanks, Ronnie.
Let's go back and see what would have happened if poor Louis had gone to Ronnie's. I swear, I would never cross you guys. You're like family to me. A couple of cops nearly brought me in, so I had to dump the money.
Boss, he isn't a rat. Rats have backbones. This guy's a worm. A worm that'll grow up into a beautiful butterfly if he tells us where he put the money. Otherwise, he'll just be a dead worm.
Much better. Raging Ronnie's provides courses in anger mismanagement, insensitivity training, crime prevention, interrogation reintegration, and much, much more. Call now and you can get 3 classes for the price of 2. Just call 1-800-JAIL-FIX. That's 1-800-JAIL-FIX. Don't let rehabilitation dehabilitate your criminals. Let us do it for you.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
I was starting to feel some sympathy for William, just another dumb kid brought under the spell of a woman with considerable charms. If it wasn't for that little tickling feeling that something wasn't fully explained, I'd have dropped the case there. And if Carolyn wasn't counting on me to solve it.
Hey, are you up for a game of doubles?
I looked up to see a couple of women and a tired-looking man standing with rackets. Oh, not yet. Still got to warm up.
That's fine. We can wait.
Come on, let's just go play.
But then Todd can't play.
It's really all right. I can sit down while he warms up.
Yeah, why don't you two run along and get started? We'll be right down.
All right, but make it quick. We don't want to play singles all day.
The two capered down to a court and started slamming the ball between them like it was nothing. The tired Todd sat down roughly at the table I'd situated myself at.
I hate tennis.
Me too.
Here for the women?
Yeah, for one of them at least.
Oh yeah?
And to look around a bit.
Of course. I'm Todd. And you?
Harry. So, know anything about Denise, something or other, with an H?
Hinckley. I've got bad news for you. She's married.
No kidding. Someone who goes here?
No, but she's always talking about her husband. Didn't you notice the ring?
Guess I didn't. I've got bad news for you, though. Your friends are coming back.
They always do.
Are you ready yet?
Come on. Don't you want to know his name before you pester him into playing against you? Girls, this is Harry. Harry, the chatterbox here is Penny. And Kim's the one glaring at me like I killed her cat.
You did kill my cat.
That was 4 years ago.
Pleasure to meet you two.
Likewise. Ready to play?
Oh, I shouldn't. I tore my ligament.
Which one?
All of them.
Gosh, that sounds like it hurt.
Oh, it did.
Hey, Penny, why don't you and Todd go play around? I'll see if I can convince Harry to come join you.
I don't think I need to...
Come on, Todd!
Penny seemed thrilled with this latest idea, and within seconds she was dragging the poor, tired man down to the courts. Why he let himself get convinced to go down there is anyone's guess, of course.
You're not here to play tennis.
What gave it away?
The fact that you came in and didn't try to find a game.
I guess that's a good way to tell.
So what are you after?
Oh, just a little air. It's nice to be out here with the woods and the breeze. Little bit of green never hurt anyone.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I love playing, but sometimes it's just as much to get away from the gray.
I don't suppose there are any secluded trails for walking or anything.
Depends. Are you walking for your health, or are you getting funny ideas?
Never had a funny idea in my life.
All right. See beyond court, too? There's some woods. I've seen William walking up that way once or twice.
No kidding. Was he with anyone?
Not that I noticed. I mean, it's not like he's going up there every day. I assumed he was just looking for a bit of peace.
Aren't we all? Thanks for the talk. I've got to go take a walk.
Enjoy.
I quickly made my way to the path and started to walk it carefully. I sat on the dirt. It had been a good couple of weeks since the last bad rain, and there were plenty of footprints to follow. After some close examination, it seemed there were only two sets. If Kim was right, one of them was William's, and I'd assumed the other to be Denise's. I'd probably stumbled upon the location of their rendezvous. A bottle of wine found a couple minutes later supported that theory. Took her out for drinks. I returned to the pavilion and looked around until I found who I was looking for. Hey, pal, up for a game?
What? Wait, aren't you the guy who was looking into Nice possibly having an affair?
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it if you play me.
Sure, why not?
We took a court and I set to serving. Or more accurately, I set to flailing wildly and missing. I tossed the ball William's way. So, how long were you and Denise,
About 2 months.
William hit the ball right to me and hard. I gave a swing and nearly lost my racket. Heck of an arm you've got there.
Always good to stay in shape.
Right.
So tell me, what'd you find out?
About?
Denise.
Right, yeah. Sounds like you were the only one involved with her. So Mr. Hinckley will be glad to hear it.
Does she know you're investigating her?
No, why do you ask?
Curiosity.
Throughout this, he kept slamming the tennis balls at me. It was impressive the speed he got with them, and I only hit 1 out of 5 tops. All right, you win. And here I thought tennis was an easy game.
No kidding. Look, I've got to get going.
I hate to ask this, but I don't suppose you could give me a ride. My car was giving me trouble this morning, so I had to have it towed. He eyed me suspiciously and then gave a shrug.
Yeah, sure. Where do you need to get dropped off?
The Hinckley place, if it's on the way. I can call a cab from there. I climbed into William's car and sat patiently as he drove me over to the Hinckley's. As we started to get closer, I made a motion for him to stop. All right, here's the place.
No, it's a couple of houses down.
Really? What do you know? It's so easy to get mixed up.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like if I was having an affair with some woman, and she never invited me over, but I'd followed her home one night to help me blackmail her properly, I'd sure be embarrassed if I then showed I know exactly where her house was.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, just putting things together. I found your little romance point, and I couldn't find a single footprint there that didn't belong to you or Denise.
Are you saying I blackmailed her?
Well, the perfume threw me off at first, but there aren't a whole lot of women who could quickly drive a nail into a solid maple door, and you'd have had to do it quickly. Of course, that also explains why the perfume was a cheap one. No sense wasting extortion money on an expensive setup.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I think you should get out of this car.
Not in your life. I've just got to call the cops, have them check your house, and I'm sure we'll turn up the exact perfume used. I'm guessing you've got the hammer right here in the car, even.
So you're saying I blackmailed her because of some cheap perfume and a hammer? You've got to be joking.
Of course, none of that compares to if we can find whatever pad of paper you wrote the notes on. I don't suppose you remembered to put a flat surface underneath the page you were writing on. You have to push pretty hard to make those blocky letters. It'll be a breeze to trace out the engraving on the next page. William paled, and suddenly I felt the great weight of his fist slam into the side of my head. My head hit the window, and I took another fist in the ribs. The car was suddenly peeling forward as my world swam.
You just couldn't leave well enough alone, could you? I had the perfect con. seduce rich married women, figure out their bank account balances, and fleece them for all they're worth before disappearing with a wad of cash. I've pulled it at least 8 times, and there's no way in hell I'm letting you put an end to it.
I heard a click as he pulled a gun from somewhere and desperation hit. In a moment of sudden action, I grabbed the handbrake and pulled hard. The car skidded, spun, and William's face hit the front windshield with a crack. The gun went off and shattered the window next to me, but apart from a couple of shards, I was fine. That's not all you're going to be complaining about soon! I opened the door and stumbled out of the car to find that a small crowd had gathered. Turns out gunfire and screeching tires is enough to get all kinds of attention. Within minutes, the police and ambulance arrived. We were loaded into our respective wagons, and soon I had the glass chips removed. William's hit would give me a hell of a ringer, but it would fade a little better than his broken nose. The pain medication they put me on apparently didn't mix well with alcohol, so I stayed sober for the night, meaning I got to the office early. Well, earlier. An hour and a half after opening. Deborah was nose-deep in some magazine when I walked in.
Hello, Harry Flynn isn't in right now. I can take down a message.
No, I'll wait for him.
Oh, there you are, Harry. You're 2 hours late.
How could I be late? It's my agency. And I'm only an hour and a half late.
Well, you've been receiving calls from a Denise Hinckley every 5 minutes since I got here. Eventually, I just told her to come down. She's sitting in your office.
Thanks, Deborah. Wait, you told her to come down even though you didn't know when I was getting in?
How else was I supposed to get her to stop calling me?
You are a treasure, Deborah. Denise?
I was wondering when you were going to get in.
Your boyfriend punched me in the face and tried to shoot me.
Which is why I'll be adding a bonus to your usual price.
Stop doing things I'd expect someone with a conscience to do. Makes it harder to dislike you.
Should I not add the bonus?
No, you can add it. I'll just have to try extra hard to find you disgusting.
I'm returning to my husband, Harry. I truly do care for him.
Yeah. Women like you don't change.
You, sir, are absolutely insufferable. Here's your money. It's no wonder Carolyn always complained about you. You are ungrateful, self-righteous, and you reek of booze.
Your insults hurt almost as much as my eye. Deborah?
Yes, Mr. Flynn?
Did I pay you last week?
No, when I bailed you out with my Acapulco money.
Yeah, I remember. That hasn't come back yet, but here's last week and this coming week. I promised you a week off, and I'll give you another when the bail money comes back.
Thanks, Mr. Flynn. See you in a week.
Wait, Deborah! I need you to file some... Oh, well. I sat back at my desk and stared at the little pile of bills still left there. Funny little green slips of paper. But people are willing to do anything for him. It's not a thing in the world that'll drive people to do crazy things quite the same. Well, maybe one or two things.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, Court Appeal, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta. Our cast today was Brandy George as Denise Hinckley and Deborah, Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn, Jennifer Momenzada as Marla, Penny, and Gun Girl, Drake Nestor as commercial announcer Snitch and Todd, Lucas Hamasachi as announcer Spinelli, Guard, and Louie, Mark Zurich as Glenn, William, and Mob Boss, and special guests Elsbeth Williams as Carolyn and Kim. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Find us on Facebook or check out our wiki at www.harryflynn.wikia.com, where all previous episodes are available for download.